This goes to Dr. Freestone. It's F-R-E-E-S-T-O-N-E, fax 989-875-5168, regarding Linda, middle initial I, like Irene, and last name Davis, D like David, A-V-I-S. Date of birth is April 26, 1948. Dear Dr. Freestone, this is a consultation for Mrs. Davis, who was sent for evaluation of stage 4 chronic kidney disease with bilaterally small kidneys. She's accompanied by her significant other, who she resides with. She has had elevated creatinine levels even prior to April of 2022. She was hospitalized in March or April, according to the patient, for severe breathing difficulties secondary to chronic COPD and pneumonia. It was not COVID, according to testing. She was discharged from the hospital but kept getting progressively weaker, so she went back to the hospital, and she was rehospitalized from May 11th through May 13th for weakness and dehydration. Her creatinine levels did improve with some IV hydration, and then she was sent home with her significant other. And since that discharge, she has been able to gain the weight back that she had lost, which was 25 to 30 pounds, she reports, between April and May of 2022. She's feeling better. She's able to eat. She does have chronic respiratory difficulties and does have oxygen that she can use at night and also during the daytime if she becomes short of breath. Currently, she's not running fevers, no dizziness or headaches, no chest pain or palpitations, no nausea, vomiting, or dysphagia, no diarrhea, but she does have constipation without blood or melena. Urine is clear without cloudiness, blood, or dysuria. She does have edema of the lower extremities. Sometimes that becomes severe, but today it is pretty well controlled, she states. Past medical history is significant for hyperlipidemia, gastroesophageal reflux disease, a history of peptic ulcer disease, a history of exposure to oral nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory drugs over many years, hypothyroidism, COPD secondary to long-term smoking, 2 packs per day for about 50 years, dysmetabolic syndrome, paroxysmal supraventricular tachycardia history, hypertension, degenerative arthritis, allergic rhinitis, constipation, restless legs, and anemia. Past surgical history, she's had an appendectomy and a cardiac ablation in 2000, bilateral total knee replacement, tonsillectomy, and right hand surgery. Social history, the patient is divorced and retired, and she does live with her significant other. She denies alcohol or illicit drug use. She does smoke 2 packs of cigarettes per day for over 50 years. Family history is significant for coronary artery disease, type 2 diabetes, stroke, hypertension, thyroid disease, asthma, carcinoma, and hyperlipidemia. Review of systems, as stated above, otherwise negative. Drug allergies, the patient is allergic to penicillin, Spiriva inhaler, lisinopril, IV contrast, and latex. Medications, she's on Synthroid 125 microgram daily, Claritin 10 milligram daily, Prilosec 40 milligram daily, Zofran orally disintegrating tablets, 8 milligram, one every 8 hours as needed for nausea. Miralax, 17 gram nightly at bedtime. Requip, 2 milligrams, 3 times a day. Carafate, 1 gram 4 times a day. Tylenol, 2 tablets twice a day as needed for pain. Albuterol, our preventil HFA inhaler, 2 inhalations 4 times a day. Symbicort, 80/4.5, 2 inhalations twice a day. Zetia, 10 milligram daily. Pepcid, 40 milligram daily. Lasix is 40 milligram daily, and occasionally she uses an additional 40 milligram in the afternoon. Generally, it's once in the morning, but up to twice a week, she takes an additional Lasix when she has extra swelling in her legs. And Duoneb, she uses that every 6 hours as needed per home nebulizer. Physical examination, height is 66 inches, weight 190 pounds. Blood pressure, left arm sitting, large adult cuff is 130/68. Pulse 63 and oxygen saturation was 88% on room air. Neck is supple, there's no JVD, no lymphadenopathy. Lungs have inspiratory rails in the bases and scattered inspiratory and expiratory wheezes in the bronchial lobes. Heart is regular, somewhat distant sounds, no murmur, rub, or gallop. Abdomen is soft, obese, no ascites, no hepatosplenomegaly, no palpable masses. Extremities, 1+ edema in the lower extremities, and the left is slightly greater than the right. Capillary refill, 2 to 3 seconds. Pedal pulses, 1 to 2+ bilaterally. Labs and diagnostic studies. August 8th of 2022, creatinine is 1.9. Estimated GFR is 27. 6/5/22, creatinine 2.66. GFR 18. 5/25/2022, creatinine 3.22. GFR 14, 5/16/2020, creatinine was 2.13, GFR 24, 5/12/2022, creatinine is 3.35, GFR 14, 5/11/22, creatinine 4.72 with GFR 9, 4/18/2022, creatinine is 2.72, GFR 19. In other labs on 8/8/22, hemoglobin is low at 8.8 with normal white count and normal platelets. Sodium, 145. Potassium is 5.5. Carbon dioxide, 34. Creatinine is 1.9. Calcium, 9.24. Albumin, 3.6. Phosphorus is 5.4. Urinalysis, negative for blood and negative for protein. We have a renal ultrasound that was done April 14th, 2022. Right kidney is 8.3 centimeters and the left is 8.5 centimeters. No hydronephrosis. She does have some left renal cysts, none on the right. No stones were visualized. And the bladder... the pre-void bladder volume was 57, and she refused post-void imaging. She had an MRI of the abdomen with contrast. That was done 5/26 of 2022, and that showed multiple simple renal cysts and gallstones were noted in that. Assessment and plan, stage 4, chronic kidney disease, most likely secondary to severe peripheral vascular disease, chronic hypertension, bilaterally small kidneys, as well as exposure to nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. The patient was asked to have monthly lab studies done, and with the initial one, we will check iron studies, B12, folic acid, ferritin, free light chains, immunofixation. We're going to check retic count and then renal chemistries. Also, intact parathyroid hormone. We would like her to have monthly lab studies done thereafter. She should follow a low sodium and a low potassium diet. and information was provided concerning those types of diets. She is going to be seeing a pain clinic specialist, and we have advised her to let them know she should not use any oral non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs for pain. She may use Tylenol. She may use Tramadol sparingly and carefully. Also, narcotic analgesia, if that's determined appropriate for this patient, with the risks of addiction and other issues concerned with chronic narcotic use, those arise. So those things would have to be taken into consideration. But she is able to use other medications, just no non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs that are oral. And the patient is going to be rechecked by this practice in the next 2 to 3 months. Smoking cessation was strongly encouraged. It's doubtful she's going to try to do that right now. The patient was also evaluated and examined by Dr. Fuente. All care was coordinated with and directed and approved by him. Mary Stunner, CNP/Jose Fuente, MD.